Friday, 28th of April. At 8:45 last night, I was running a relaxing aromatherapy bath and sipping chamomile tea when a car burglar alarm started up. I have been waging a campaign in our street against car burglar alarms, which are intolerable and counterproductive, since you are more likely to get your car broken into by an angry neighbour trying to silence the burglar alarm than by a burglar. The doorbell rang. I picked up the intercom. A wee posh sheep voice bleated, "He's having a fucking affair!" Then there was hysterical sobbing. I rushed downstairs where Magda was outside the flat in floods of tears, fiddling under the steering wheel of Jeremy's Saab convertible, which was emitting a doo-wee, doo-wee, doo-wee of indescribable loudness, all lights flashing, while the baby screamed as if being murdered by a domestic cat in the car seat. "Turn it off!" somebody yelled from an upstairs window. "I bloody well can't!" shrieked Magda, tugging at the car bonnet. "Jeremy!" she yelled into the portable phone. "Jerry's, you fucking adulterous bastard! How'd you open the bonnet of the Saab?" Magda is very posh. Our street is not very posh. It is of the kind which still has posters in the window saying, "Free Nelson Mandela." Magda and I were both in the car now, pulling any lever we could find. Magda swigging intermittently at a bottle of Laurent Perrier. By this time, an angry mob was gathering. Next thing, Jeremy roared up in his Harley Davidson. But instead of turning off the alarm, he started trying to grab the baby out of the back seat with Magda screaming at him. Then the Australian guy, Dan, who lives below me, opened his window. "Oi, Bridget," he shouted. "There's water pouring through my ceiling." Shit! The bath! I ran upstairs, but when I got to my door, I realised I'd shut it behind me with the key inside. I started banging my head against it, yelling, "Shit! Shit!" Then Dan appeared in the hall. "Christ," he said. "You'd better have one of these." "Thanks," I said, practically eating the proffered fag. Several cigarettes and a lot of fiddling with the credit card later, we were in, to find water flooding everywhere. We couldn't turn the taps off. Dan rushed downstairs, returning with a spanner and a bottle of scotch. He managed to turn off the taps and started helping me to mop up. Then the burglar alarm stopped and we rushed to the window just in time to see the Saab roar off with the Harley Davidson in hot pursuit. We both started laughing. We'd had quite a lot of whiskey by now. Then suddenly, I don't quite know how, he was kissing me. This was quite an awkward situation, etiquette-wise, because I had just flooded his flat and ruined his evening, so I didn't want to seem ungrateful. Then suddenly a man in motorbike leathers appeared at the open door holding a pizza box. "Oh, shit," said Dan. "I forgot I ordered pizza." So we ate the pizza and had a bottle of wine and a few more cigarettes and some more scotch. And then he restarted trying to kiss me and I slurred, "No, no, you mustn't." At which point he went all funny and started muttering, "Oh, Christ, oh, Christ." "What is it?" I said. "I'm married," he said. "But Bridget, I think I love you." When he'd finally gone, I slumped on the floor shaking with my back to the front door, chain-smoking butt ends. Then the doorbell rang. I ignored it. Then it rang without stopping. I picked it up.
"Darling,"
said a different drunken voice I recognised.
"Go away, Daniel," I hissed.
"No, let me explain."
"No.
Ridge, I want to come in."
Silence. Oh, God, why do I still fancy Daniel so much?
"I love you, Ridge."
"Go away. You're drunk," I said, with more conviction than I felt.
"Jones?"
"What?"
"Can I use your toilet?"